T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This week's elections left the fate of the presidency up in the air, but here in Illinois, things were considerably more clear. Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker's proposal for a graduated income tax was rejected at the polls. Most Republican legislative seats targeted by the Democratic Party stayed in Republican hands, and the GOP picked up 2 additional House seats. Is it time for House Speaker Michael Madigan to step down as chairman of the Democratic Party of Illinois? Well, more key Democrats are now saying yes, including my guest this week, who wants his job. We'll hear from State Representative Stephanie Kifuwin. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. Oswego State Representative Stephanie Kifuwin is not a shy person. Former Marines rarely are. And when Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan was implicated in an alleged bribery scheme involving Commonwealth Edison, she was among the earliest Democrats to say he should not remain chair of the Illinois Democratic Party. Now, Madigan is not specifically named in a federal deferred prosecution agreement with Commonwealth Edison, but the U.S. Attorney's Office made it clear that the speaker was a target of a bribery scheme that the utility company has admitted. It's important to note that he has not been charged and has denied doing anything wrong or having any improper motives for any vote. But as Madigan was resisting pressure to relinquish any of his leadership roles, Representative Kifuwin announced that she would challenge the speaker for his gavel. It was a bold move for a suburban Democrat who's been in the House since 2013. She was an Aurora alderman before that, and she has been a financial advisor. She's also been a teacher, and we're going to talk with Stephanie Kifuwin about her journey and her destination. And welcome, Representative Kifuwin.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you for having me on.
Well, it's a pleasure to talk with you again. And first, tell me how your uneasiness about Speaker Madigan has led you to this point.
Well, Craig, to me, it's just holding people accountable. And that's the bottom line. Is in government, in life, in business, you have leaders that are charged to lead, and you want them to lead in a fashion that's ethical and that's moral and that you can trust. And when not only this scandal, but other scandals in the past have plagued the Speaker of the House, I just believe that this is not the type of leadership that I embrace. And as you mentioned, being in the United States Marine Corps, we hold leadership and ethics and loyalty and, you know, living a moral life and service above self so much more important in our daily existence. And I just pretty much said to myself, enough is enough. Somebody has to stand up, and why not me?
Well, now, as I mentioned before, he hasn't been charged. The law says Mike Madigan is innocent until proven guilty. He would likely suggest that this is a rush to judgment. What do you say about that?
Well, Craig, I think that that is true, innocent until proven guilty. But I think when we look at leadership, now I haven't called for him to give up his seat as a state representative. He can continue to represent the individuals of his district. But when we're looking at leadership, the bar has to be higher than just whether a particular act falls within the confines of the law. It needs to be, is a particular act undermining the public trust and integrity in the leadership position of what you hold? And that is a different, a higher standard than just whether an action in and of itself falls within the confines of the law. And I think that the public believes that as well, that we need leaders that follow the law, but also follow the spirit of the law, the essence of public trust, and goes above and beyond to make sure that the public doesn't doubt at all the actions of the leaders. And I believe that the implications of Michael Madigan and the things that are described in the deferred prosecution agreement really undermine the public trust and questions the integrity of the office of Speaker of the House.
Now, and you alluded to this earlier, Mike Madigan's political operation has had problems before, including allegations of sexual harassment among his staff and allies. Also, to another issue that we've covered in the past, the Legislative Inspector General's office went unfilled for years, but he's endured. What is the problem with the process, the legislative process, that none of these things has been an impediment to him continuing?
Well, I think, Craig, what it is this dual role that he holds as Speaker of the House, which I am challenging, and also the chair of the Democratic Party. And when you have that dual role, there is an inert intimidation to go against an individual that you're going to need for support in the election cycle. We all are here to be elected and to serve, and a lot of my colleagues are very well-intentioned and good people that want to do the right thing. But you have a system in place that people just get intimidated, or they don't feel comfortable speaking up. And I think at this point in time, people are just fed up. And I join other colleagues of mine that have asked him to step down as speaker. And I am joining, you know, individuals that are demanding a higher level of accountability in our government. And I think that we all need to stand up and fight for that and to stop turning, as you said, a bit of a blind eye or making excuses or just accepting a status quo that's been there for decades.
Mike Madigan has been an all-time champion fundraiser. That is one of his gifts. And many Democratic House members have been elected or reelected with his help. First, I should ask, have you gotten help from Mike Madigan in your years?
Well, as a Democrat running for office, the Democratic Party should support Democrats. I mean, just like the Republican Party supports Democrats. So I've gotten assistance from the Democratic Party of Illinois, in addition to him as a chair. But that doesn't persuade me, because I don't view that is a quid pro quo, or that support comes with, my loyalty or allegiance to something that I feel is wrong. And when you feel something is wrong, good people, they have to stand up and they have to say that this isn't right and this isn't wrong. And I think that there is individuals and our caucus is younger individuals that are embracing the fact that we need to hold leaders and ourselves to a higher level to restore the public trust in people.
How much does the performance of the party in this last round of elections, what we know of it so far, how much does that factor in this? Because let's face it, it's not just about having a lot of money, but it's having a lot of money to get people elected. And that didn't work out as well this year as it has before. Talk to me about what the mood is and what the feeling is about how the party has gone through this cycle.
Well, Craig, as you said, a lot of money was raised, a lot of money was spent. And if you're going to look at things from the Democratic perspective, the Democrats lost 2 seats. So, and we lost a whole lot more if we look statewide and we look at the constitutional amendment and we look at Supreme Court race and we look at on the congressional letter. It was not a strong showing. And what has been happening is that, you know, the Democratic Party is being saddled with the reputation of Mike Madigan. We are the Democratic Party of the people, and we should not be labeled or, assimilated with, like we saw this election cycle, with the baggage, with the distractions that comes along with Mike Madigan. And that's why I and many others have been talking. I've been talking well before the election, and now, others have joined me to say that it is time for him to step down.
And it's not just that, that the some made people went down in flames and the graduated income tax, but a lot of it has been on arguments that the Republicans have made before that didn't seem to stick. I mean, Mike Madigan has been the boogeyman in any for the last maybe 10 election cycles that I've covered. He has been the person that the Republicans tried to beat Democrats mm-hmm. over the head with. It hasn't worked. This time it did. Is it just the federal action, or has it just been a matter of a cumulative pile of things?
I think people are getting tired. I believe that there had been a time when the public believed that it was sensationalized or blown out of proportion, and issue after issue would come. But keep in mind, Craig, this is the first time in federal documents that Mike Madigan is being labeled as public official A. And that's serious. And that's serious to the public. To be implicated, I realize he hasn't been charged, but implicated. Nobody wants a leader in any government to be identified as public official A in a bribery scheme, in a scheme to try to gain favor. Any public official should be 1,000 miles away from any of that even appearing to be true, much less ComEd admitting to it to be happening. And I think that's real. And I think with the national level, which we see with all the discord and the division on the national level, people are tuning in. And they're saying, we didn't want it on the national level. And we don't want it on the state level. Not even the appearance of it, Craig. It doesn't, to my view, even perception is reality. And we cannot have leaders even with the perception, much less being identified as public official A in FBI documents.
I want to ask if how concerned you are that one of the other effects of this was that Justice Thomas Kilbride was not retained on the Illinois Supreme Court. The long-term effect of that could end up being that the balance of the Illinois Supreme Court will change, just as the national Supreme Court balance has shifted a bit. What do you think about that? Because I don't think there's any other way of looking at Justice Kilbride's fate other than being tied to Michael Madigan, because that was the entire argument against him.
You're correct, Craig. The people are tired. They're tired of having public officials they can't trust, and tying such an esteemed individual, such as a Supreme Court justice, to Michael Madigan, and then ultimately not being retained, is a big concern. And we definitely need to take those things very seriously and not just brush it off. Like it's a fluke. It's not a fluke, and we need to really look at it seriously.
Now, Governor Pritzker and Senator Dick Durbin and Senator Tammy Duckworth are all saying the party's paid a heavy price for Mike Madigan's leadership. He says he's proud of his record electing Democrats who support workers and families and looks forward to continuing as chairman. Do you see any of this having much of an effect on either the speaker or the members?
Well, I think, Craig, every member has to make their own decision. But let's look at that statement that he has elected Democrats, which fundamentally underscores how he views the public. You know, candidates have run, and the public has put their faith in those candidates. So they have worked really hard to gain the public trust. And it is clear that the public trusts their individual state reps, but they just don't trust the leadership. And that's what I take away from that statement, is that it is very self-serving, that he's taking credit when it's the voters, the people that need to have the view of the leadership of the state. And I am calling and touching base and reaching out to all the members of the House and having very good discussions on them. But again, it is an internal vote. And I don't know how much external factors play into it, but the public has to stand up and be recognized. And if they want new leadership, they should be calling their state rep and expressing that as well.
You're listening to News Radio 780's At Issue. I'm political editor Craig Delamore. We're talking about the future of the Illinois legislature via Zoom conferencing with State Representative Stephanie Kifewit. She is challenging Michael Madigan for his seat as Speaker of the House. Full disclosure, I live in Representative Kifewit's district. but now let's talk a little bit, because that was a point I was just about to bring up, was you are talking to the other members. How do you go about mounting support for your effort? I mean, how many members so far have been willing to say anything supportive in public?
Well, so far we have myself and I believe six others that have said it in public. Some other individuals, challengers, Democratic challengers that were not successful had also said this in public. Back in August, there was a letter signed by 53 predominant Democrats in the community that was released to the public stating that they believe that Michael Madigan should step down. I believe there were six aldermen that part of the progressive wing that came out and stated he should step down all before the election. And so the calls have been very robust. I've been on the call with a rep for 2 hours talking about all the issues and the changes, the positive changes we can make. I believe that the phone calls have been really productive. And the individuals that I have talked to, even individuals that are still supportive of Michael Madigan being speaker, but recognizing that things need to change as well. So that robust discussion will continue as I continue to call individual members and talk about just, starting a new chapter in Illinois. And I think it's time to start a new chapter in Illinois.
There is an adage that I think of often that's never wound the king, and you know it's about fear and or retribution.
Right.
How much is that going to play first off in marshaling support for you and also in your future as far as challenging the man who very well might still be in that position, you know, in the next few months?
Well, Craig, I come from the military background. So you give a challenge to United States Marine and we bring it on. And I also recognize that there is a potential to lose the battle and win the war. And this is a battle I believe we need to wage for the people of Illinois. And successful or not, this needs to be said, it needs to be challenged, and it needs to be shown to the people of Illinois that Democrats are willing to stand up and hold their own party accountable for actions that are unsavory, for actions that don't live up to the perception and the public trust that we need for people. And I think that is what's important, Craig. And that is what the people of Illinois are craving. They're craving a new direction in Illinois. And I think that if we don't stand up today, it'll make it harder to stand up tomorrow. And maybe I'm not successful today, but we are building the foundation for success tomorrow to start pushing Illinois in the right direction of fiscal responsibility, of gaining the public trust, and listening to the people and saying, we hear you. And it's a big job, and we're trying to change things, and we're not going to give up. Even if we stumble, even if we're not successful this time, there's a group of us that believe wholeheartedly that the Illinois House needs to change. And there's a group of us that, even if not successful, I believe we're going to stay together and still push to get accountability, transparency, and just keep listening to the people.
And I want to talk to you about that in a minute, but I also want to touch on something that has been, if anything, a little bit amusing to me, because we get occasional news conferences from the Illinois Republicans who are always offering advice to the Democratic members, mostly to reject Michael Madigan, no surprise. But when we ask them, so then are you going to support Stephanie Kifewit or any other Democrat who wants to run against Michael Madigan, to a person, they all say, well, no, that's not for us to do. And frankly, they're all going to vote for Jim Durkin, which means that if the Democrats were to split, Durkin would win. So, I mean, is that another problem for you or for anyone? Is that any split among the Democrats gives the Republicans a clear path to become be in charge of the House?
Well, Craig, unfortunately, what you're just talking about is the divide that we're seeing in our state level and in our national level. To be quite fair, when Tom Cross was the leader of the minority party, Republicans did vote for Democrat leadership. And they did it because we understand that we have to work together and to push the state in the direction that we need to push for. So the Republicans are just being selfish. And, you know, those individuals are not looking at collaborating and not looking at working together like they worked together in the Tom Cross leadership area. And it's disappointing that they don't look at opportunities to work together. You know, at the end of the day, the Democrats have to do the right thing. And what you're talking about is another bullying intimidation technique that works in Michael Madigan's favor to use fear and in some case, exaggeration that, you know, it's going to be manipulated in a way that we're going to have a Republican Speaker of the House. We're not going to have a Republican Speaker of the House. And if the Republicans do not want to come together and collaborate, you know, that's just further pushing the divide that I think the people of Illinois do not want. They want an Illinois House that works together to solve the huge issues that we have to address next year, our fiscal issues, our ethics issues, the pandemic and recovery issues. And if the Democrat, or if the Republicans just want to look out for themselves, then that's very disappointing, Craig. But I can assure you that there will not be a Republican Speaker of the House.
And, you know, you are making excellent transitions into the stuff that I want to talk to next, because I do want to talk about the kind of collaboration, maybe not always public, because it seems to me that the Illinois General Assembly has long been a place where behind the scenes, often, and that even happened in the Rauner era, behind the scenes, lawmakers are willing to get together and get things done. And what's the atmosphere now, you know, behind the scenes? Are people still able to talk to each other and try to work their way through problems?
I think that we do have a segment of moderate Republicans that we can work together with, that we have worked together with. Recreational marijuana was bipartisan. We've had a lot of big bipartisan bills, but I think that going forward, we really need to start working together as the whole state to move it forward. We need to stop talking about segregating the state, Cook County and Chicago and the rest of the state. That's not going to happen. We need to start coming together and working together for the good of everybody, Southern Illinois, Northern Illinois. And to me, I believe the role of Speaker of the House is to represent the whole House, so and to work together with everybody in the House, and that doesn't seem to happen to the degree that I saw when I started, and I started with a few years of Tom Cross and a little bit more moderate Republican side, and you know, during the Rauner years when it was just dire straits that we had to work together. Now, keep in mind, we didn't have to get to that point of a 2.5-year budget impasse had Rauner and the Republicans worked together for the good of Illinois. So we do have that, you know, that sticking point in that it had to get to extreme dire straits, whereas before the Republicans would work together. So I think leadership matters. And I think having a leader that represents the whole state as Speaker of the House, even though I'm a Democrat, I think that it's very important for a speaker to go to Southern Illinois and listen to those residents' concerns and I'm in the suburbs, and listen to those concerns and listen to the concerns of Chicago and actually start bringing comprehensive solutions to the whole state that's going to get us going in the right direction, bring jobs where they need to bring jobs, and start listening to the people and respecting the people because they are the ones that elect representatives.
And let's talk a little bit about that, because regardless of who is speaker, what are going to be the priorities in the legislature moving forward? You're not going to have a graduated income tax. Are we looking at the kind of painful budget cuts that the governor is saying are going to have to take place?
Well, there are going to have to be cuts, whether they're, I prefer more of a precision cut than a across the board cut, because I think that, for example, an across the board cut would hit human services such as the Department of Child and Family Services, which we've seen over 100 children that have perished that had had contact with DCFS, and we don't want to have any other children in harm's way. And so I think that we have to balance where the cuts are rather than an across the board cut. And that's my philosophy, is that it has to be a precision cut, a little bit here, a little more there, a little less here to balance out the needs. But there's going to have to be cuts, and there's going to have to be discussions about revenues. As you may or may not know, about 90% of our budget is mandatory. So when people say, you know, cut the budget, as we saw under the Rauner years, he tried to cut programs. We got sued. The court said that under federal law, we had to pay that. It didn't matter if we wanted to or not. We're forced to pay about 90% of our budget. So when we're looking at what is that 10% you can cut, domestic violence shelters fall in that. Universities fall in that category. DCFS, social workers, falls in that category. Education funding falls in that category. So some of those areas where people believe just cut away, as the governor said, state police falls in that category. You know, we have to have a serious discussion that talks about the priorities of the state, and there's going to have to be reductions in spending as the people wanted. I understand that they don't have the public trust to trust us, like the residents, I believe, in Arizona that passed a similar initiative successfully. We have a trust issue here in Illinois. Ethics is another issue. How can you talk about ethics when the Speaker of the House has done questionable things? You know, maybe not under the threshold of whether something was legal or not, but ethics and morality is a little different subject. So ethics reform, we have to look at that. We have to look at, in my opinion, racial equity and putting in place policies to address systematic racism. These are serious issues that require 100% focus, I think, from everybody in the General Assembly. But, you know, as we know, the speaker also has outside employment, also has the chair of the Democratic Party, also is the speaker. And I think that at this point in time, we need someone similar to myself that can devote 100% of their time to these big issues in the Illinois House amongst, you know, many other issues that come up in the normal course of the cycle. That's just a few. But education funding, property tax reform is so important. Been working on that for 8 years. Our pension problem is another big important issue that just seems to not get any attention from the speaker's office. We just keep kicking the can that I've been down there. Property taxes, pension reforms are two very, very important things to me that I think we need to solve. We actually needed to solve these problems, I think, 10 years ago before I even came in. And now it's ballooned into an atrocity that we definitely needed to give 100% of our efforts into as well.
Well, that's, believe it or not, is going to be the final word. We have run out of time. Stephanie Kifowitz, thank you very much for spending this time with us. To our listeners, if you would like a copy of this program or to hear it again, please visit our website at wbbmnewsradio.com. There should be a link at the bottom of the page. You can also find our podcasts on radio.com. I'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Delamore, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.